جزء 12. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I begin in the name of Allah, compassionate to all, merciful to each. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the 12th episode in this podcast series titled Journeying Our Eyes Through the Quran, Exploring 30 Juz in 30 Days. Today, inshallah, we will continue our journey through the pages of the Quran as we take a brief look into the 12th juz of the Qur'an, which consists of all but 5 verses of Surah Hud, which is 123 verses in total, as well as the first 52 verses of Surah Yusuf. Both of these chapters are Meccan, and as such focus on the fundamentals of faith. Surah Hud, chapter 11, as you can probably guess from its name, includes the story of Hud alayhi salam, along with several other prophets. The name Hud is mentioned with the highest frequency in this chapter when compared to other chapters in the Quran. Surah Yusuf, chapter 12, is one of the only instances where an entire surah is dedicated to a certain story and told in chronological order. It is a gripping story with many lessons and reminders. For today's episode, we are going to focus, inshallah, on a few concepts discussed within Surah Hud, about lessons that we can learn from the nature of our purpose in this world, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses punishment. One of the beautiful parts about Meccan chapters is that they tend to focus on encouraging humans to return to their essential purpose in life, that which they have lost, and this is nothing other than learning about and seeking proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dispersed throughout these chapters and stories of previous prophets, there are insights from the creator of the universe about the human condition, human purpose, and the nature of this world. These reminders should not be taken lightly. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poignantly mentions in verse 21 of Surah Hud,
أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَضَلَّ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ.
They are the ones who have ruined their souls, and what they used to fabricate has forsaken them. The Arabic word used in this verse is khasira, which means to incur a loss. Essentially, the verse indicates that the ones who have turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rejected Him and reality, capital R, have lost the one thing that was in their control, i.e. their own state. Throughout the Quran and throughout this chapter, we see how our Lord beseeches us to act, and one of the ways that He encourages us to follow the truth, to believe in the truth, and to act on the truth, is by addressing the fact that this is only to our own benefit, or our detriment if we reject it, in order to help us realize the magnitude of how much we can hurt ourselves. The Quran brings forth 6 examples in this chapter of previous nations who were destroyed and who hurt their souls to such a degree that there was no longer wisdom in their existence in this world, and as such, they were destroyed. These included the nations of the prophets of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, Prophet Hud alayhi salam, Prophet Saleh alayhi salam, Prophet Lut alayhi salam, Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam, and Prophet Musa alayhi salam. The discussion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroying entire nations and groups of people can be a very sensitive one for us, especially when we try to focus on His incredible mercy instead of the reality of punishment. But the truth is that the Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes use punishment as a tool to bring us to an awareness of the consequence of our actions. As we read in verse 103,
وَكَذَلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَى وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٌ إِنَّ أَخْذَهُ أَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِمَنْ خَافَ عَذَابَ الْآخِرَةِ ذلك يوم مجموع له الناس وذلك يوم مشهود.
Such is the seizing of your Lord when He seizes the townships that are wrongdoing. Indeed, His seizing is painful and severe. There is indeed a sign in that for those who fear the punishment of the hereafter. That is a day on which all mankind will be gathered, and it is a day witnessed by all creatures. Here it's interesting because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala notes that in this punishment, there's a sign, there's an ayah, there's something for those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who fear the hereafter, there's something for them to learn from. I.e., punishment serves a purpose for us to learn from, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it. Today, as we go through some of the stories mentioned in this chapter, I want us to keep a certain point in mind. And that is this question: what is punishment other than the absence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, or the removal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy? Even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished and destroyed these nations, it was not as an angry or vengeful Lord, but rather it was a Lord who takes mercy and justice to a very serious degree. It's incredible to see that even in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's discussions on punishment, it's almost as though he has anticipated the questions that will come to our mind, and he's addressed them and called them out for their reality. In verse 24, we read the following.
مثل الفريقين كالأعمى والأصم والبصير والسميع هل يستويان مثلا أفلا تذكرون.
The parable of the two parties is that of one who is blind and deaf and one who sees and hears. Are they equal in comparison? Will you not then take admonition? Here the verse is obviously not talking about someone who is physically blind or physically deaf, but rather it is clearly talking about those who see and hear and recognize the reality of the truth, and those who are blind to it, rejecting it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a damning question and says, are the two really equal? Are good and bad the same? Are the ones who recognize truth and the ones who don't, are they really on the same level? Should those who are righteous and those who are corrupt really be treated in the same way? When thinking about this and grappling with the mass punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's think about this point. How else do we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to treat those who are evil and cause corruption? Time and time again in this chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stresses that he does not harm anybody who is innocent, and that anybody who was a believer or who was innocent was saved. In the story of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, it is only after it is revealed to Prophet Nuh alayhi salam that nobody else would believe, that they were all oppressors, that there was no more chance. It was only after this that he was ordered to start building the ark. In verse 36, we read,
وَأُوحِيَ إِلَى نُوحٍ أَنَّهُ لَنْ يُؤْمِنَ مِنْ قَوْمِكَ إِلَّا مَنْ قَدْ آمَنَ فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ.
It was revealed to Noah, none of your people will believe, except those who already have faith. So do not sorrow for what they used to do. This justice of God's extends to the degree that even Prophet Nuh alayhi salam's biological son was no exception to it. When we open our hearts to guidance, and we're open-hearted to the beauty and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we see that it showers upon us. But when we close our hearts to it, we see that it is removed. And this removal of mercy is what is then manifested as punishment. Punishment is the removal of mercy. This idea is also related again when discussing the story of Prophet Hud alayhi salam.
Inni tawakkaltu ala Allahi Rabbi wa Rabbikum ma min dabbatin illa huwa akhidhun bi nasiyatiha inna Rabbi. ويستخلف ربي قوما غيركم ولا تضرونه شيئا. إن ربي على كل شيء حفيظ ولما جاء أمرنا نجينا هودا والذين آمنوا معه برحمة منا ونجيناهم من عذاب غليظ وتلك عاد جحدوا بآيات ربهم وعصوا رسله واتبعوا أمر كل جبار عنيد وأتبعوا في هذه الدنيا لعنة ويوم القيامة ألا إن عادا كفروا ربهم ألا بعدا لعاد قوم هود
Indeed, I have put my trust in Allah, my Lord and your Lord. There is no living being but that he holds it by its forelock. Indeed, my Lord is on a straight path. But if you turn your backs on me, then know that I have communicated to you whatever I was sent to you with. My Lord will make another people succeed you, and you will not hurt Allah in the least. Indeed, my Lord is watchful over all things. When our edict came, we delivered Hud and the faithful who are with him by a mercy from us, and we delivered them from a harsh punishment. Such were the people of Ad. They impugned the signs of their Lord and disobeyed his apostles. And followed the dictates of every obstinate tyrant. So they were pursued by a curse in this world and on the day of resurrection. Behold, Ad indeed defied their Lord. Now away with Ad, the people of Hud. Here's one of the places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies this point and clarifies the reality of the matter as he does in numerous places throughout the Quran. He says very clearly that this punishment is only a result of their own actions. In verse 101, we read the following.
وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ
We did not wrong them, but they wronged themselves. And again, in verses 115 to 117, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elaborates further and says,
وَاصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ فَلَوْلَا كَانَ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ أُولُو بَقِيَّةٍ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْفَسَادِ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّنْ أَنْجَيْنَا مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مَا أُتْرِفُوا فِيهِ وَكَانُوا مُجْرِمِينَ وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ لِيُهْلِكَ الْقُرَى بِظُلْمٍ وَأَهْلُهَا مُصْلِحُونَ
And be patient. Indeed, Allah does not waste the reward of the virtuous. Why were there not, among the generations before you, a remnant of the wise, who might forbid corruption in the earth, except a few of those whom we delivered from among them? Those who were wrongdoers pursued that in which they had been granted affluence, and they were a guilty lot. Your Lord would never destroy the townships unjustly, while their inhabitants were bringing about reform. These verses further make it clear that not only were those nations oppressive, but they were not taking any steps towards reforming themselves or in some process of islah or correction. I'd also like for us to consider the point that everybody in this world dies and goes to the next world. This is the reality of the dunya. What was exceptional about these communities dying and being destroyed was not that they died because everybody dies. It was that they died together with a difficult death through punishment. If a group of people have reached such a point that they will never turn back, that no matter what miracle they see, no matter what prophet comes to them, they will never believe, And this is what's seen in these stories. And if we know that they're going to pass from the world one day, then what wisdom would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to give them a longer life when they were also blocking others from guidance and hurting the believers? The removal of God's mercy from these people, which was their punishment, was also a mercy. But this is the face of punishment that we do not often reflect on. Moreover, when we see these punishments, they serve as reminders to us, inshallah, those who are open-hearted and who believe, even in the sense that they are reminders for us to think about our own reality and our own destination, and perhaps it prevents us or helps prevent us from losing our own souls in the akhirah. This reminder also renders those punishments as a form of guidance and mercy. And when we look at all of these verses together, as the Quran is meant to be taken as a whole and not in parts, it becomes easier for us to understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would punish previous nations and then communicate it to us from His mercy and from His desire to guide us to the truth and what is ultimately beneficial for us.
Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.